I created an AAR where after you finish with a customer, you sit down and you score yourself. And you give yourself a score of 0 to 10. 0, you didn't do the step. 10, you did the step to the best of your ability. In other words, you maxed it out. And then you would write ways to improve. And that's all you would write. Not what you did wrong, but what you will do right the next time. And your mind, it's really amazing. If you write notes to yourself, you will eventually begin living the notes that you write.
Welcome back to Time Tested Mastery Life Lessons Sell, where we talk trust-based selling, leadership, discipline, and real-world lessons that hold up under pressure. Today's guest is Thomas R. Holland, a sales behavior expert with a rare mix of lived experience and long-range results. Tom served in the U.S. Army as a staff sergeant and drill instructor, then spent 47 years in the automotive industry, moving through every major role from salesperson to general manager, and later becoming Kia's first national Western region sales trainer. Tom is also a longtime student of psychology and the author of multiple books, including The Folder Effect and The Yes Protocol. His work has one core message that fits this show perfectly. Mastery isn't built by knowing more, it's built by behaving better. One intentional correction at a time. I want to start off with a really strong question. Okay, I wrote this one down. Tom, you've trained and led people for decades in high pressure environments, military and sales. So let's get right to it. Why does knowing what to do not matter as much and fail so often when real behavioral change is the key? Can you share that with us?
It was Aristotle that said, we are what we repeatedly do. Excellence then is not an act, but a habit. Well, the same way that excellence can become a habit, so can mediocrity. And unfortunately, so can failure. And what we do is, we first learn the habit, and then the habit trains us to be what the habit wants. If you wake up every morning and the first thing you do is you make your bed, what you've done is you've told yourself there has to be organization. And that organization, it's a small thing. But that organization, what it does is it leads to different habits. And it's very small, incremental gain every day. It's not one big, just you wake up and you're there. That doesn't happen. And I found that over time, if you are consistent at good, good becomes the consistent. And that's what I found.
I love that. That is absolutely awesome. So for those people that are listening to the show today that have not met you before, can you give a little bit of a background, your early life, military life, and a little bit of your background into what you're doing today, you know, coaching and talking about sales?
I appreciate that question, Mark. I really do. I grew up in a household where alcohol flowed real freely, and it was damaging. Very, very damaging. I lost both my parents almost 30 years ago. So it's been a long, long, long road. Alcohol played a major role in my life. And in September of 1987, I walked away from alcohol. I walked away from tobacco. I don't even drink coffee. And it's all because I discovered that if you don't master your habits master you. And my habits of alcohol had mastered me. And so I stopped everything on the same day, September the 3rd, 1987. And I wanted to know what was wrong with me. So I started studying psychology. I wasn't trying to help anybody in sales. Matter of fact, the only person that I was trying to look out for was me, because I wanted to fix me. I wanted to find out what was wrong. And the more I studied psychology, the more I recognized that our habits entrench us. And then what they do is they make us a servant. And I thought, well, if I'm going to be the servant of a habit, it needs to be a good habit. And so I started trying to train myself. redirect myself. I had been in the automobile industry for almost 9 years when I recognized that I did not want to be in sales directly. I wanted to help other people. And I had been number one closer on the floor, number one salesperson on the floor, moved into management, and it just seemed like that was another just simple niche. I'd been a drill sergeant for 2.5 years in the military. I had made my rank of E6 in 3 years, unheard of. But I'd always leading people was something that was easy for me. But I found that a lot of times what we do in leadership is out of necessity to almost apologize for what we have learned, because what we do is we teach others the same thing. That was a problem that I could not stand. So I wrote a book in 1991 called Auto Sales Dynamics. The book was really popular, and I had committed a mortal sin with it. I had taught through that book everything that I had been taught. In other words, it seemed like I had this allegiance to a lot of things that were wrong.
Okay.
So I went back on the floor in 1993 at a small dealership and became one of the top Volvo salespeople in the nation in 16 months. Not overnight, pretty well in 16 months. It's hard to go from the bottom to the top. And I did that. But I did it by doing things differently. I recognized that our opening, in almost every case, our opening is our worst step in any selling. Because
How so? Express that. How?
Whenever I meet you on the showroom floor, whenever we meet someone on the showroom floor, what we do is we use what I refer to as an ADP. It's an acquired defense protocol. I meet you, I see you, and I start arranging in my mind who you are. I use an acquired defense protocol and habits. I see you and I say, "Can I help you?" It's the worst thing you can say to anybody.
Right. They say, "No, I'm just looking."
Exactly, because that is also an acquired defense protocol. It's not an objection. It's this acquired defense protocol. We start off poorly. So the thing that I taught myself to do was, I met you, I wanted to meet you. So I would say, "Good morning. Welcome to ABC Motors. My name is Tom Holland, and you are?" And I'd ask for your name, and once I got your name, you'd say Mark Dolan, and I would say, "Is that D-O-L-A-N? And you'd say, "Yes." And I'd say, "Do you mind if I write that down?" I found out if I forced myself into these types of habits, I changed that first interaction. I made it more positive. I got your name. I wrote it down. And the very next thing I would do is I would hand you my business card. And a lot of people will say, "That's death. You don't hand out your business card up front," because that is nothing more than an escape pass. People get your business card. Now they can leave at any time. I thought that was really ridiculous. If I wrote your name down, I couldn't forget it. Hmm. But customers never wrote my name down. So if I gave them my business card, they had it in writing. This way, hopefully, they wouldn't forget my name. That was the true reason. But I would hand them my business card, and then I would ask two questions back to back. What exactly attracted you to ABC Motors? And in particular, what attracted you to the ABC product line? Now, I use the word attracted because in psychology, we have what they refer to as emotional push and emotional pull words. An emotional push word is looking for a trigger. An emotional pull word is looking for inclusion. So I would use an emotional pull word. What attracted you? The word attracted is an extremely emotional word. If I said, "What brought you in?" that's transactional. But if I say what attracted you, now you have to think of what was that magnetic draw. It's the same thing as asking you about your wife. If I were to ask you what brought you together, you'd think of a time and place. You'd think logistics. But if I were to say, what attracted you to your wife? You would think of her.
Awesome. I love, what you're sharing there, that, you're asking questions that are designed not to repel people away. There's an emotional response that is positive. So it's questions that create a positive experience in the people, I think, is what you're sharing.
Right.
Yeah, I love that. So the other thing that you used, and I'm not familiar with this, you said an ADP, which was a adverse defense protocol. I think that was, is that a military term?
Prepared. Okay. Defense protocol. And what it is, no, it's not military. It's something that, but I have a military background, so I think military. Like I use in selling something that I try to give to other people. I've never even tried to sell it. I have what I refer to as an AAR. It's an after action report. When I was trained as a forward observer in the military, the one thing you do as a forward observer is you observe. And then after you are relieved and you go back to your base camp, the thing that you have to do is you have to fill out an after action report. What did you see at that point in time? You have to give your eyes to the next person. In the automobile business, I created an AAR where after you finish with a customer, you sit down and you score yourself. And you give yourself a score of 0 to 10. 0, you didn't do the step. 10, you did the step to the best of your ability. In other words, you maxed it out. And then you would write ways to improve. And that's all you would write. Not what you did wrong, but what you will do right the next time. In your mind, it's really amazing. If you write notes to yourself, you will eventually begin living the notes that you write.
That's sort of fascinating because it sounds like you had a very specific discipline. You had a very disciplined, obviously you got that from the military, and I want to thank you again for your service. I really appreciate, what you've done in the country, and that's a pretty special thing to do. But the things that you learned in the military, you brought some of those things, some of those habits and some of those behaviors into your selling with tools. And one of them I'm hearing is that you are constantly evaluating and reporting on what you were experiencing so that you can improve.
Yeah.
Was that conscious?
Yeah, we have a tendency to move from meat through the experience. At the end, we go back to the meat. We go through the experience to the end, and it's just this circle. And the thing that I wanted to do was I wanted to break that circle. And the whole idea was I needed to adapt and evolve. But I couldn't adapt and evolve if I didn't know what I needed to do. So I had to grade myself on what I did and say, okay, I'm at a 7.5. How do I get to an 8? Not how do I get to a 10, but how do I get to an 8? Once I was at an 8, how do I get to an 8.5? And the whole idea was predicated on I need to take these small steps to get better. And as I get better, I'm conditioning myself to that one goal, constantly getting better.
Yeah. Well, absolutely wonderful. I mean, very, very clearly I'm hearing that you didn't just do your sales career as an accidental exercise, that there was a lot of thought put through it. One question I was going to ask you is you had mentioned, the alcohol thing. Did you stop the alcohol before you went into the military, or was it before you went into business? At what point in your life had you done that?
I went into the military in 1971.
Okay.
So that predates my stop of alcohol. I went into the car business in 1979. I made a lot of money. I let my habits lead me, and I was just a total wreck. I won't go through it all. 1991, when I wrote my book, Auto Sales Dynamics, I wrote a companion book called Finally Home Sober. It chronicled that, and it sells even today in the recovery industry. The whole idea was I had a problem, a serious problem, and I just stopped it. I just said, that's it, done, no more. And a lot of people said, you can't do that, especially because I was deep into it. I had a lot of problems. I got in a lot of trouble. If you can tell your mind that you will do something with repetition, you will do that something. It doesn't matter what it is.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's a powerful statement to recovery for people that have an alcohol problem. And I'm one. I understand. I'm almost 15 years sober now, so I understand the deal. So very clearly, there's a lot of people that are listening today that, you know, 25% of the population have addiction issues or they have problems. And that means that 100% of the people in the world know somebody that has that problem, you know, if they don't have it themselves. So it's a widespread problem. But one of the things that you shared was, is that, you know, it was a train wreck before you solved that issue. And then it sounds like you had a whole rebirth for the rest of your life after you stopped that.
I did. It was. Once I stopped, and it wasn't the stopping of alcohol. That was one, of course, that was a major deal. But I started studying psychology. And once again, it wasn't to help you. I didn't know you, so I wasn't going to help you. Okay. I wasn't going out on that limb. I was doing it because I wanted to find out what was wrong with me. And I read a book called De Tomaso's Error. And when I read that book, a light went on. And trust me, I had already been through the Corsini Encyclopedia of Psychology. I mean, I had read every, because I just wanted to fix me. My family was broken. I'm not going to go into that, but there was a lot of issues and it was all alcohol related.
Right.
And so I kept trying to figure out, how do I fix me? How do I fix me? How do I fix Tommy? And then in De Tomaso's Error, it basically told me, you're wired. You're hardwired. This is who you are. Figure a different path. This path is dangerous. This path will always lead to destruction. Just choose another road.
Just choose another path.
And that was what I did.
Awesome. Awesome. So you've written a few books, a couple of books. And so I had a couple of questions that I had written down. You know, you say that behavior, not training, is the real lever of mastery. Can you share a little bit about that? Because I know there's a lot of agents that go out and they say, well, I'm going to get some sales training. And so people will say, well, I have training, but you're talking about behavior is the difference. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, training is, we all require that. We all do. I train myself daily. I'm always looking for the next step. And so I'm always reading. I'm always looking for something that will help me. But you can be the most intelligent person in the world. You can be the most highly trained individual in the world. But if your behavior doesn't follow, then I don't care how well trained you are. If I get up in the morning, first thing I do is I make my bed. The next thing that I do is I shine my shoes. I spit shine my shoes every day. Now, that is a behavior, but the behavior itself, it tends to lock me into certain programmable behaviors that set the stage for my day. I know that I can do certain things and I'm going to benefit from them. Training is good. You know, you say this. I followed the University of Indiana University this year in football, and Kurt Cignetti said. He said that first you form the habit, then the habit forms you. Well, the habit forms a behavior, and that's what we have to do, is we have to let that behavior be who we are. When you meet people, you can either smile or frown. You can be glad that you've had another day, or you can hate what's in it. I mean, it's all choices. But the idea is, everybody needs to understand that your training will not lead to a behavior, but your behavior can lead to more training. That's what my behavior does.
Yeah. So one of the things that is also a note from what I picked up from the things that you've been sharing is the idea that you can make little changes over time that will create exponential results. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, we all want to do everything right now, immediately. We're into instant gratification. All of us are. The fact of the matter is, your big job of building that 8,000 square foot house begins with nothing more than zoning. It doesn't begin with anything else. You have to make sure that the plot that you're purchased has been zoned. If it's not zoned, you can't build there. I mean, it's something very, very simple. We have a tendency not to back up far enough to see where it all starts. And then what happens is we get about halfway in and we step on that rake. And that's what almost everybody does. They just end up stepping on that rake. And I made a decision a long time ago that every time I started to do something, I would back up, see what I had to do and go from there. And I would take each incremental step to ensure I didn't step on the rake. And that to me, it's the biggest plus in the world is to understand that if I meet somebody, the first thing I want to do is I want to get their name. Nothing else. I just want to get their name. Then the next thing I want to do is I want to write it down. Nothing else. I want to get their name and write it down. The next thing I'm going to do is give them a business card, but it's going to be after I get their name, write it down, and then I give them a business card. In other words, everything is incremental. It's not all at once. And people who try to force everything all at once, they're trying to put an elephant into a Volkswagen, and it just doesn't work. Something's going to break.
Well, and I love that, you know, that introduction into, you know, that first meeting, you know, number one, you know, and I'm trying to remember which author it was that talked about it, is that the sweetest sound is the sound of your name on someone else's lips. And so you meet somebody and you ask them, you know, for their name and you repeat it back and you ask how to spell it, you know, number one, you're giving them a lot of attention, which makes them feel good about it. The second part of it is that I'm pretty slow learner, so I need the repetition. I need the repetition in order to actually remember it. But the last thing that you talked about there is what's really powerful is, you know, let me write that down. I mean, what message does that send to a buyer, you know, or anybody that you meet when you say, let me write? I mean, what you're telling them is your name is as important to me as it is to you. Yeah. What a great way to create at least start off a relationship with someone that is so powerful. So another thing that I picked up in your notes is that there are some things that we unconsciously do that salespeople are doing unconsciously all the time that are deal killers and are driving people away. What are those things looking like?
Let me begin with this. There are three things everybody wants to know. And if I could get every salesperson, if I could get every person in the world just to understand these three things, if you could get these three things down, then the rest of your life is easy. I don't care who you meet. But there's three things everybody wants to know. Three things I want to know. Okay? There's three things that you want to know. The smallest child wants to know those three things. It's, do you see me? Do you hear me? Am I important? If I can convey to you that I see you, I hear you, and you are important, and I can do that in the first 15 to 20 seconds, then I have the remainder of your time. Time is a commodity. You have to spend it well. Nobody wants to be rushed. Nobody. And I tell everybody, and this is just a part of what I tell them, nobody is worried about how long something is taking until they ask you what's taking so long. And what we do is we think that we're taking too long, so we try to rush things. And that's pushing that elephant into that VW. That's all that is. And so I tell everybody, you don't do that. What you do is you let people know where you're at, when you're selling, how long something is going to take, where you're about to go next. Everybody wants a guide, but they want to know what's the map. They want you to lead them through the territory, but they want to know there's a map. And we don't let them know there's a map. We just sort of bring them in and just sort of rush them through, and it's a cattle chute, and they're just waiting. All they're worried about is you've got a nail gun at the end of this, right? So we have to be extremely careful of how we begin the interaction, so that every step thereafter is a joined step. It's not singular in nature. You're not leading someone. What you're doing is you're walking alongside of them, and you're the guide. So they keep looking to you for what's next, what's happening. But as long as you're walking alongside of them, they don't feel like they're being pulled, pushed. They don't feel like they're being forced down some dark alley that they don't want to go down.
Yeah, that's wonderful. I share with salespeople, and I probably use a little bit different language. You know, I talk about emotional safety, that people have, they have their guards up, you know, they're pushing you away. And, you know, the three things that you talked about and the way that you have overcome it in the first 30 or 45 seconds of getting to talk with somebody is such a great start to create that bond and that emotional safety. What's one behavior? If that's not it, is there one behavior that you would share with every salesperson to start doing immediately today to turn their career around? What's one thing that you would tell every salesperson they need to be doing if they're not doing it already?
Everybody needs to do an after action report. Everybody. I don't care who you are. You sit down, and what you do is you critique ways to get better. It is a conversation starter. That's all it is. And what I would do is I'll be more than glad to share this with you. I'll email one to you, show you exactly how I designed it, how I built it. Okay. But that after action report, it tells you what I have seen. As a forward observer, that's what an after action report was all about. It was all about what I have seen, the terrain, what it looks like, where are the gaps, where are the valleys, where's the thickest underbrush. So you would look at all of this, and you would hand it to the next guy that's going out into the field, because that guy wants to know the lay of the land, and that AAR gives him that. But it also tells you, when you go back out, you know exactly what you're looking at. And if there's areas to fix, you know those areas to fix. In sales, all you do is you list out your steps, whatever those steps are, from the meet and greet to the close. Whatever those steps are, you list them out, and then you grade yourself. I found in the car business, if I use 10 steps, if I get a score of 70, I almost always make a sale. If I get a score of less than 70, just like school, I almost always fail.
Probably not. Yeah. Yeah.
So that AAR, to me, if I were to tell everybody in sales one thing, critique yourself honestly. And that's what an AAR does. That after action report, and you can design your own. You don't have to have mine. But yeah. Critique yourself honestly and write down ways to improve. What will I say next? What will I do next? And if you do that, you're almost guaranteed to get better, almost guaranteed. Matter of fact, Wharton School of Business predicts that people that use something like that are anywhere from 20 to 25% better than people who do not use it. And that's Wharton.
Yeah, great stuff. And that's a great reminder, especially for people that are in real estate sales. If they're not doing an after action report, if they're not continually critiquing what they're doing and improving, they'll fall into the trap of, you know, a lot of times a salesperson will say, well, I've got 20 years of experience. Well, sometimes that's not true. Sometimes they have 1 year of experience repeated 20 times over, and you've just given the exact formula for people to not fall into that trap. So a couple of things I want to say. Thank you so much for being on the show today. I am going to ask you to go ahead and email that so I can take a look at it. But right. I also want you to share with everybody how they can reach you. And I'll include all that information as well in the show notes, so that anybody that wants those materials or a way to find your book will be able to reach out to you directly.
That's perfect. Anybody can get a hold of me. My phone number, and I'm giving you my cell phone, 682-667 7606. You can reach out to me. You can call me. You can text me. I don't care. And then you can go to my website, which is mysalessolutions.com. There's four S's. It's sales solutions, mysalessolutions.com. And they can email me at tom@mysalessolutions.com. I'll be glad to help them. They can go on Kindle. They can go anywhere to get my book. However, if they download it on Kindle and they use the Alexa app will actually take the Kindle download and read it to them. So it's like downloading an audiobook.
That's beautiful. Well, I appreciate you being on our show today and sharing all of this great experience and wisdom with our listeners. Thank you so much, Tom.
Mark, it has been an absolute pleasure, and thank you very much for inviting me. I wish that my voice was better. I wish I didn't have this cold, but I really do appreciate you reaching out to me, and I look forward to staying in touch with you. Thank you very much.
Tom, this was exactly what our audience needs, because it wasn't hype and it wasn't theory. It was the truth. Information doesn't change people. Behavior does. If you're listening and you're tired of starting strong and fading out, take what you heard today and pick one small correction to apply this week. That's how real mastery is built, quietly, consistently, and under pressure. If this episode helped you, share it with one person in real estate or sales who wants results without manipulation. This is Time-Tested Mastery, Life Lessons Sell.